thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning. If everyone can find their seat, we can begin today. So some of you may not have remembered last time I was here, not last time, but the time before, we looked at a passage from the epistle to the Philippians. And it was having to do with suffering. And if you remember, one of the things that I said about suffering, and I've always believed this, was that I don't think many Christians today have an adequate sort of definition or a way of dealing with suffering. So we looked at Paul's words. It was in verses 12 to 18. And again, we saw Paul. He was imprisoned. He was chained. And he was still able, God was still able to advance his purposes through him. Remember, he said that throughout his whole circumstance, it all served to advance the gospel. So in other words, God's mission doesn't stop when our circumstances become difficult. So even suffering, we learned, can be an instrument that God uses to complete his purposes. But once we understand that truth, God is sovereign over all our suffering. Now, how do we move forward? So naturally, everybody should be thinking in their heads, where do we go from here? I'm suffering now, and I get it. I understand it. God is completing his purposes somehow through the suffering. Yet, what do I do now? So this is the moment that we find in the beginning of the book of Joshua. We're going to be today in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. So when we open this this first chapter in Joshua, we step into this profound moment. This moment is a moment of transition for Israel. Their great leader Moses, the servant of the Lord, who led his people out of Egypt through the wilderness, and all the way up to the edge of the promised land, has died. The whole era of Moses came to an end. The man who God spoke with face to face is gone. And you can just imagine, as Moses' assistant, everybody's seeing Moses in his deathbed, and the scripture doesn't say this, but I can just imagine, everybody just does this, and just looks at Joshua. They probably all think, like, all right, Moses' assistant, what do we do now? So Joshua must lead the people forward. And the question is the same question we ask ourselves. Where does our courage come from when we have to step into what God has called us to do? And verses 1 through 9, they answer this question. And it shows us that courage for the life of God calls us to live out life, and not in our own strength, not in our own confidence or our own determination, but by the power of God. So if you can, if you're able, I ask you to please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I shall be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, For you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your ways prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Church, let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word today, Lord. And as we move through this text today, Lord, I ask that you open the hearts of everyone in here. Let your Holy Spirit capture the hearts of everyone here as your character, your self-revealed character on these pages, Lord. I ask that you clear minds and remove distractions today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So again, when the book of Joshua opens up, is this profound transition. And it's important. Just know this. Every time that the Bible repeats phrases, you should pay attention. That's like Bible study 101. You hear the same phrase over and over again. It's important. And we're going to see a few phrases today that are repeated. The first one, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, right? Imagine, this is somebody writing these words. So they're writing after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And then it says, God speaking, Moses, my servant, is dead. Just imagine what that is trying to, think about what God is doing in this point. So for 40 years, Moses was the central character for Israel. Remember, he confronted Pharaoh and delivered Israel from Egypt through Moses as the armies pursued Israel. God used him to part the Red Sea. Through Moses, the law was given at Sinai. And through Moses, the people of Israel were shepherded through their wilderness. And the final chapter of Deuteronomy tells us that the Lord knew Moses face to face, and that there had never arisen a prophet like him in Israel, but now he's dead. The narrator tells us the death in verse 1, when the Lord himself begins to speak, the first thing he says is, Moses, my servant, is dead. Remember, the narrator said it. Joshua knows it. Israel already mourned it 30 days, and yet the Lord repeats it. Why do you suppose he does this? And this is because before Joshua can move forward, he must fully understand the moment that he is in. God is, in a sense, reorienting Joshua's mind. So the man who led Israel for 40 years is gone. The mentor that Joshua had followed is no longer there. Now you just imagine that Moses was this larger-than-life character. And there's sort of a comfort to having somebody as a leader like that, because it just kind of means like less work for you. Like when I have conversations with Kenny, I always say I love having conversations with him because I don't have to do a lot of talking. Kenny does so much talking, and I'm just there nodding my head. So there's a comfort to having people, these larger-than-life characters. But it's important that Joshua, he can't move forward mentally if he's stuck in that past, right? The wilderness years are over. And Moses' leadership has ended. And there's this new chapter in Joshua's life, and he has to live it out, whether he's ready or not. And Moses, again, he's described here in a very interesting way. And again, it's repeated, right? He calls him servant twice. What does that mean? This is not accidental. On the one hand, it honors Moses, right? But it places him, on the other hand, in the proper position. He wasn't the ultimate leader of Israel. He was the servant. The Lord was always the true leader of his people. That means that the death of Moses, the death of the servant, does not mean that it's the death of the mission. And this pattern, we see it at work over and over again. Abraham dies, the covenant continues through Isaac. David dies, his kingdom continues through Solomon. The apostles eventually die, the gospel continues to be spread through the world. And we see God buries his servants, but his work goes on. And now Joshua's in this moment where the work of God, it must continue through him. But there's another lesson here that speaks to us as well. There are moments in our life when God has to confront us with the reality of where we are. Right? Because, again, it's easy to stay anchored or to prefer what you already know, to remember former seasons in your life, former leaders, circumstances. And sometimes we wish things could just go back to the way that they were. But God doesn't always allow that. So like Joshua, we must hear the Lord restate the reality of our situation. He does this so we can move forward. It's as though God says, this is where you are now. The chapter is closed. That season has ended. And it's not God being harsh. It's just him preparing us for the life that he has ahead of us. Joshua needed to hear this. He needed to understand that past, that chapter in Israel's history has not closed. And now the same God who calls Joshua is now calling, or the same God that called Moses is now calling Joshua. The mission has not changed. The promise hasn't changed. The presence of God hasn't changed. And we're going to see that. The only thing that changed was the servant. And it reminds us something important, even for our Christian life. That the courage to move forward, it doesn't come from holding on to the past. We have to trust in God who continues to lead his people into the future. And now once the Lord, he reorients Joshua's reality to the moment. Moses, my servant, is dead. He says it twice. The next words are meant to move Joshua forward. What does it say? Now, therefore, arise. This is a turning point, right? Joshua, he's not called to remain still, to remain standing at the grave of Moses. He's to move forward into the work that God has appointed for him. Then the command is simple. Go over this Jordan. So the Jordan River, it stands as this natural obstacle between Israel and the fulfillment of God's promise. Right? On the other side, it's the river of the river lay the land that God promised centuries early to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now this promise was reaffirmed through Moses, and now it is being placed in the hands of Joshua. But before they can get there, they have to cross the river. And this wasn't like a small stream. This was a formidable natural barrier. Just imagine all the people that have to cross over, women and children, and all the things that they're carrying with them, their livestock. They have to get across this river. So in other words, between Israel and the promise of God stood a very real obstacle. Now listen carefully to what God speaks in verse 3. And I think verse 3 is very important. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Right? What's the tense of that? He doesn't say, I will give it to you. He says, I have given it to you. So from God's point of view, this already has been secured. But the people have not yet crossed the river. They haven't fought the battles of Jericho. They haven't taken possession of any part of the land. But yet God speaks something in a way that it's already given. And this reveals an important truth about God. God's promises are certain long before they experience their fulfillment. In other words, what God has decreed, he's already settled in his purposes, even if we haven't technically stepped into it first. But that doesn't eliminate the need for obedience. Remember, the promise is given, but the people still have to do the crossing. The land belongs to them by decree, yet they must still walk. His people must still walk by faith. God gives the land, but the people have to take the possession of the land. And this pattern, we see this in the Christian life as well. God gives promises to his people. He calls us forward in faith. Yet between the promise and the fulfillment, there's always like this Jordan River standing in the way, this obstacle. Sometimes the Jordan is what? Fear. Uncertainty. Maybe you've been given a responsibility that feels way too great for you. And sometimes it's circumstances that feel completely impossible to overcome. But the presence of the Jordan does not cancel the promises of God. In fact, the Jordan becomes a place where your faith has to be exercised, right? The obstacle forces the people of God to decide whether they truly believe in what God has said. Right? Joshua and the people of Israel, they stood at the edge of the river with the promise behind them and a barrier in front of them. And that's often where we find ourselves. God speaks his promises. He calls his people forward. And he brings them to this place that is like, now you have to take this step in faith. And then the courage to live the life God calls us to live does not come from pretending that these obstacles don't exist or that they're small. And it comes from believing in the promises of God. And God guarantees us his presence. We're going to see this in verse 5. Let me read verse 5 because verse 5 is so important. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So God, he defines this promise, setting the task before Joshua. Now he gives them something more important than any type of military strategy, any type of preparation or any type of strength. He gives Joshua his presence. And this presence, it begins with a promise of victory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And this, and make no mistake, this declaration is not about Joshua's strength. It's about God's commitment to act for his people. Because we know the story. Joshua will face enemies. He will face battles, fortified cities. He will face opposition. But none of those things will actually prevail against them. The reason for this victory is immediately explained in the next line. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Remember, God did not call Joshua to be another Moses. No, he promises that presence that sustained Moses will now sustain him. So the power behind Moses' leadership was never Moses himself. It was the presence of God. And now that presence is with Joshua. And now he reinforces this with even stronger language. I will not leave you or forsake you. Those words, they echo earlier promises God had given to his people through Moses. Joshua will cross the Jordan. He will face enemies. He will lead the nation. But he will not do it alone. The presence of God will accompany him every single step of the way. And this promise goes beyond Joshua's life. Throughout Scripture, the presence of God, it remains the foundation for the courage for his people. So when the Lord Jesus sent his disciples into the world, he gave them the promise that sounds remarkably similar. I am with you always to the end of the age. So this mission that Christ gave his followers to proclaim the gospel to all the nations is obviously beyond your human ability. But the church has this confidence that it will never rest on its own strength. It rests in the presence of the risen Christ with his people. And the same truth, it applies to the Christian life today. The courage to live faithfully for God does not come from our personality, our determination, our abilities to overcome fear. Courage grows from the assurance that God is with us. So now we see Joshua, he can face the Jordan, the battles ahead, the enormous responsibility. And that same strength empowers believers today. Many times we face uncertainty. We encounter the responsibilities that are too great for us. And this fear begins to whisper that we're not capable of whatever task is before us. And this answer to fear is not self-confidence, it's God's presence. Joshua's courage did not come from looking inward, it came from looking upward. The courage required for the Christian life flows from the same source. It's this unchanging presence of God with his people wherever they go. Now, up to this point in this passage, the Lord has reminded Joshua the reality of the moment. We saw that. He defined the promises before him and then assured him of his presence. Now, he begins with Joshua's responsibility. And to the command, the command that dominates this section is repeated three times. Again, we have to pay attention to the things that are repeated. Be strong and courageous. The Lord says it, verse 6. He says it, verse 9. It's verse 7. And then he repeats it, we're going to see in verse 9. Right? If we just first look at this phrase, it may look like some sort of call to military bravery, right? After all, Joshua has an army that he's going to be leading, and the conquest of Canaan is ahead of them. But if you look closer to the text, I think we can discover something a little bit more important. The courage that Joshua needs is not necessarily in battle. It's courage in obedience. See, verse 7 explains what strength and courage is actually looks like. Be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. So again, the greatest challenge that Joshua has is not necessarily confronting his enemies. It's remaining faithful to the word of God. The Lord tells him, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. So in other words, Joshua's leadership must be shaped by this unwavering obedience to God's word. And his courage is not going to be measured by how he fights, but how faithfully he aligns with the word of God. This is a crucial lesson for us to understand. This is what true spiritual courage looks like. And we can see this in our culture. Courage is often defined as just boldness, right? Being somebody who takes risks or somebody who can face danger without fear. Biblical courage is something deeper. It's the strength to obey God, especially when obedience is difficult. It takes courage to follow God's word, and it runs against the pressures of this world. It takes courage to live with integrity when compromise seems so much easier. Joshua's courage will not be proven merely in battlefield, but in his commitment to walk in the ways of God. And once again, we see these patterns that they carry on to the Christian life. The courage to live faithfully as a follower of Christ is not simply the courage to face hardship. It's the courage to submit our lives to the authority of God's word. Right? What does Jesus say? He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Faithfulness to Christ is expressed through obedience. And that obedience, it requires courage. It takes courage to, for instance, forgive when you've been deeply hurt. It takes courage to speak truth when the culture resists us. It takes courage to live a life shaped by Scripture when the world is moving in the opposite direction. Joshua's command reminds us something important. This courage to obey doesn't come from us alone. It grows from this promise that we just saw. God himself is present with his people. Joshua can obey because God is with him. Believers today can pursue obedience because God, through Christ, empowers his people to walk in faithfulness. So now as we look through the last movement, after calling Joshua to courage and obedience, the Lord, he now reveals the means by which that obedience will be sustained. What is Joshua told? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Remember, the book of the law refers to this instruction that God had given through Moses. It was the revelation of God's will to his people. Joshua, he's not being asked to lead Israel according to his own wisdom, his own instincts, strategies. No, his leadership has to be shaped by the word of God. The Lord says, you shall meditate on it day and night. And meditation, when we think of the word, it doesn't mean emptying your mind and filling your mind with the truth. It's filling your mind with the truth of God's word. Turning to God's word over in the heart, over and over again, thinking on it, speaking it, allowing it to shape your life. See, the image here is one of constant attention to God's instruction. Joshua is to keep God's word in his lips, in his mind, and at the center of his leadership. The verse continues, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So Joshua's success, again, never came from his strategy or military brilliance. It came from living under the authority of God's word. For then you will make your ways prosperous and you will have good success. Now, this passage, it can sometimes be misunderstood, right? In our culture, prosperity and success is defined by wealth, comfort, your achievement. But in this context, the promise is about something deeper. Success here means that God will accomplish the mission, that his leadership will fulfill God's purposes and his people, for his people, because it is rooted in the obedience of God's word. Now to close this, have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous. For the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Again, Joshua's, his courage is not self-generated. It grows from the presence of God and the word of God. Now, I want to close before I give the floor over to Pastor Kenny to lead us in communion. But again, as we step back, we see that the Lord gave Joshua everything he needed to move forward. And Joshua, he stood at the end of this daunting task. Moses was gone. The Jordan River stood before him, and the land filled with enemies ahead. So in other words, it was overwhelming. But in that moment, God did not give Joshua a strategy first. He gave him something more important. He reminded Joshua of his promises. He assured him with his presence. God called him to walk in obedience. And God anchored his life in his word. Joshua's courage was never meant to come from Joshua. It came from God. And that's exactly what the Christian life is like today. Because like Joshua, we also stand in moments where in life God calls us to live a life that can feel overwhelming. We're called to follow Christ in a world that moves in the complete opposite direction. We're called to pursue holiness in the culture that celebrates compromise. And if we're honest, there are moments when the Christian life can just feel daunting. But God never calls his people to live a life of faith in their own strength. The courage that you have, that you live the Christian life, it doesn't come from within you. It comes from the promises of God, from the presence of God, and a life shaped by his word. But as we read this passage, we also recognize Joshua's story points forward to something even greater. Joshua is leading Israel to this earthly inheritance, a land promised to his father. But that promise was only a shadow of something greater to come. Even Joshua's name points forward. His name means the Lord saves. And centuries later, another Joshua would come. And we know him as Jesus. Jesus came to accomplish a greater deliverance. Joshua led his people across the Jordan River, but Jesus leads his people through a greater barrier. That's the barrier of sin and death. The greatest obstacle is not a river or an enemy. Our greatest obstacle is sin. And it's that sin that separates us from God. And no amount of human effort can overcome that barrier. But the gospel that tells us that Christ has done what we could never do. He came down. He lived a life that we couldn't live. He lived it perfectly. And his righteousness belongs to us now. So when God looks down upon us, he doesn't see a sinful person. He sees the righteousness of his son. And before I give the floor over to Pastor Kenny, I'm going to just ask you to pray. to pray with me. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. It's that word that gives us that strength and the courage. That strength and that courage to live the life that you called us to live. We ask that your Holy Spirit, it help us meditate on your word day and night, as your word says. That we can keep your holy word into our hearts. And Lord, we know that our strength and our courage ultimately come from you, not from our own wisdom or understanding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.